the following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 16th, 2011, in Timișoara, Romania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mang Prapajyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavang mang prapanyate Vasudeva sarvamiti Samahatma sudurlabha Bahunam many Janmanam repeated births and deaths Ante, after, Gyanavan, one who is in full knowledge, Mam, unto me, Prapadye, surrenders, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, Sarvam, everything, iti, thus, sa, that, maha-atma, great soul, sudurlabha, very rare to see. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, the living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals, after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to Him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything. That he is the cause of all causes and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness and realizes that in everything there is relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. This verse is very nicely explained in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15, the Shveshvatara Upanishad. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Saharakshad Sahasrapat Sabhumin Vishvato Vritta Shastad Dashanan Dashangulam Purusha Evedang Sarvang Yad Bhuktang Yachchavavyam Utamritat Vasheshyano Yad Anes Natir Rohati. In the Chandyoga Upanishad 5.1.15, it is said, Navai vacho na shangshi na shottani na mana singsti e kakshate prana iti eva chakshate prano hiyavyatani sarvani bhavanti. In the body of a living being, neither the power to speak, nor the power to see, nor the power to hear, nor the power to think is the prime factor. It is life which is the center of all activities. Similarly, Lord Vasudeva, or the Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, of mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And because Vasudeva is all-pervading and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. Refer to Bhagavad Gita 7.17, 11.40. Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tandvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So this is actual knowledge. To know Krishna, that is real knowledge. One who does not know Krishna, he may be very highly decorated with so many titles, PhD, Nobel laureate, etc., etc., etc. But if he does not know Krishna, he is fool number one. Because Krishna is the foundation of everything. Nothing has any importance unless it is connected with Krishna. They imagine that things have importance. But that is simply imagination. They create so many so-called important things in this world. Big, big institutions, governments, educational institutions, etc. But they're not very important because Krishna is not the center. They will not last. So many big empires have come and gone in the history of the world. The Greek Empire, the Mughal Empire, the Roman Empire, the Spanish Empire, the British Empire. Where are these empires now? They're finished. If something is going to have importance, Krishna must be the center. Because Krishna is the foundation of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava mataksaram pravartate iti madva bhajante vang buddha bhava samanvita. Bhagavad Gita 10:8. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. One who does not see Krishna as the foundation of everything is swimming in ignorance. He's deluded. He doesn't know where he's come from. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't even know why his heart is beating. Therefore, it is very important to become Krishna conscious. A life without Krishna consciousness is meaningless, absolutely meaningless. It's pathetic to see these people on this planet. It's pathetic to see their condition. I feel so sad to see these people. It's a horrible condition. They're trying to be happy, but they're failing miserably. They cannot be happy. It's impossible to be happy. Because they're ignorant of the very purpose of their existence. They say that life is purposeless. That is their philosophy. Life has no meaning. This is the conclusion of modern day science. That life is purposeless. It's just some cosmic accident with no meaning. You were a cosmic accident. Now, try to be happy. It's ridiculous. And they say that this highly ordered universe has come out of nothing. This is what Dr. Stephen Hawking was saying. The universe has come out of absolutely nothing. Actually, this is Buddhism, is what it is. He's just starting out Buddhism philosophy. This universe has come out of absolutely nothing. And they applaud him as the greatest scientist in the world. But where is the scientific experiment to prove that? Science means observation and experiment. Where in what laboratory can a scientist take nothing and get something out of it? Has ever been done in the history of science, in any test tube, in any laboratory? It's never been done. But yet he claims this. It's just simply speculation. No wonder people are bewildered. They think they came out of nothing. Life has no meaning. You just try to enjoy it as best you can by gratifying your senses. That's all they have. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic situation. They have no conception that God, in his desire to enjoy unlimited spiritual bliss, has expanded himself into all the living beings for the purpose of expanding his spiritual bliss. That is the meaning of our existence. We are participants in the spiritual bliss of God. That's why you exist. You are a participant in the spiritual bliss of God. That's why you exist. Now that's meaning. That's meaning. But they have no meaning. And if we try to explain to them, they're not interested. They're so blinded by sense enjoyment. Shri Shreya and Preya. These are two Sanskrit terms. Shreya means that which is ultimately beneficial. And Preya means that which is immediately beneficial. So, material sense enjoyment, that is immediately beneficial. You can get some instant gratification. Not much, but it's something. Shreya means you forgo the immediate gratification to get the ultimate benefit, that is Shreya. I remember when I was in high school, back in the 60s in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas is very, very hot and very humid. The first air-conditioned baseball stadium in the world was constructed in Houston, Texas, the Astrodome, because it's such a hot and humid place. They made an indoor stadium, an air-conditioned stadium for playing baseball inside, indoors. So in those days, they didn't want to spend money on the air conditioning for the children. They made us suffer in this horrible May weather in Houston. It was unbelievably hellish weather, hot and humid. We'd be sitting there in fifth period physics class. It was so horrible, you see. But some of our fellow students, they thought they would be better off than us, you see. So they got a job at a gas station. They dropped out of school. And they saved up their money and bought a hot rod. You know what a hot rod is? One of these souped up, and they're very popular back in the 60s in the U.S. A hot, you take a car and you put a real powerful engine in it, a super transmission, and you can really go fast, like a drag race. So they would get their hot rods and they would go get out on the road outside the school, and there's a thing where you can put your foot on the accelerator real hard, and then the wheel like spins and it burns rubber. It goes, it burns rubber, and it doesn't go anywhere for a minute. It's called burning rubber. They would floor the accelerator with this big powerful engine, eight cylinder engine. Big, powerful cars, and they would make all this racket while we were sitting up there suffering. They would show us, you're suffering in there, and I'm out here enjoying, ha, 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 with my hot rod. High school dropout. But 10 years later, all those kids who endured the fifth period physics class, you know, now they've got college degrees, they're sitting in some air-conditioned office, you know, with a high-paying job. And that guy who dropped out, he's still working at the gas station, making minimum wage, you see. So that's Shreya and Preya, you see. Those students who endured fifth period physics class, they took some tapa, or penance, to get something which is ultimately beneficial. And that student who wanted to get something immediately gratifying, now he's not in a very good position. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness and sense gratification. You see. Krishna consciousness means you forgo the immediate pleasure to get the ultimate benefit of the association of Krishna. Direct, personal, 24-hour-a-day loving exchange with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Krishna prema. When you reach that stage, you're actually directly associating with God in loving exchange 24 hours a day in the Krishna Prema stage. Talk about sweet. Talk about ecstatic. Wow. Directly associating with God Himself at every minute. In pure love. Rasa, loving mood. You see. But those who want sense enjoyment, where are they? They're still looping the loop in the 8,400,000 species, you see, again and again and again. Jalajana valakshani, stavala laksha vingshati, krimaya ruddha sankhyaka pakshinam dusha lakshanam, trinsha lakshani, bashavaha, shatur lakshani, manashaha. Jalaja, jala means water. Ja means born, water born. Who is born in the water? That's the aquatics. How many? Navalakshani, 900,000. In India nowadays, they say lakhs. Someone donated, 10 lakhs of rupees to the temple. They still talk in lakhs. It's a common term in India. Here in the West, we say, 10,000, 100,000, a million. In India, they say lakhs, which is, a lakh is 100,000. He donated 9 lakhs of rupees to the temple, you see. So, that's from the Sanskrit. Navalakshani, 9 lakhs, 900,000 types of aquatics, and stavara lakshavinshati. Stavara, just like that word sta, stand. I don't know in your Romanian language, but in English, like a book stand or a microphone stand, sta. Or in India, you have Rajasthan, or there is Pakistan, Afghanistan. It's the same, coming from the same sta, you see. Sta means stationary, or standing in one place. So what is stationary, standing in one place? That's the trees and the plants, you see. Stavara lakshavinshati. 2 million types of stationary living entities. And then Krimiya Rudra Sankhyaka, 1,100,000. The insects, the worms, and the reptiles. Stavara Krimiya Rudra Sankhyaka. Pakshinam, that's the birds. Dashalakshanam, 1 million birds. And then we come to the beasts. Tringsha, 3 million types of beasts. Tringsha lakshani, Pashavaha chatur lakshani, manashaha. 400,000 types of human beings. So one who stays on the prayer platform of wanting instant gratification, they have to go through all these species again and again and again and again and again and again. Trying to squeeze pleasure this way, trying to squeeze pleasure that way, and never being satisfied. Dushparena nalena cha. Those material desires burn like fire and they are never satisfied. So this is for fools, actually. To go after that instant pleasure of the senses is the pastime of the fools. Papa calls this material world fool's paradise. It is simply a fool's activity to go after this material sense gratification. And the intelligent person, he eschews this, or he avoids, he gives up this material sense gratification. He understands that these senses, they are the property of God. Therefore, these senses should be used in the service of God. Rishikesha rishikena sevanam. I must engage my senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. Bhaktir uchate. This is called devotional service. So, by taking up the sublime process of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, we enter into the most sublime rasa, that is called bhakti rasa, the sweet taste of loving relationship with God. And that taste is experienced 24 hours a day. One who enters into bhakti rasa, he has nothing to be afraid of. He has nothing to be in anxiety about. Every moment of his eternal existence is an exciting adventure. Everything, every aspect of his life. He can wake up every morning and go, wow, another day to experience Krishna consciousness. At home, at the temple, at my office, at my job, commuting, traveling, shopping, whatever I'm doing, I can offer that to Krishna. Everything can be offered to Krishna. And that makes everything sweet, everything wonderful. Every moment is a nectarian experience of transcendental bliss for that person who has fully surrendered himself to Krishna, mind, body, and words. So now we're not there yet. We're struggling. We're still battling it out with our senses, but we have something to look forward to. If we can just get off the neophyte platform and get serious about Krishna consciousness, there's tons of nectar awaiting us. An ocean of nectar is awaiting. Now we're still caught on the shore, flapping in agony on the beach. So the spiritual master, he's very merciful. He comes walking down the beach and he sees all these poor flapping fish. He picks them up and throws them back into the ocean. So when the spiritual master comes to pick you up, you can wriggle your way out of your hand, out of his hands, or you can say, okay, throw me in the ocean. That's our choice. We can surrender to the loving hands of the spiritual master when he picks us up to throw us back in the ocean. We can try to wriggle our way out. No, 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 no. I'm independent. I am great. Don't mess with me. We have our choice. We don't want to just surrender and let the spiritual master just throw us back in the spiritual ocean. We're going to try to wriggle our way out of his hands. It's our choice. So you want to be a wriggler, or you want to be tossed back in the ocean. You have your choice. Everyone has their choice. We all have our choice. You can wriggle your way out of his hands and stay in the material world, or you can say, okay, Gurudev, I'm all yours. Throw me back in the material, in the spiritual ocean. It's our choice. You make your decision. But do you want to stay here in birth and death, or do you want to go back to eternity, knowledge, and bliss? It's your choice. Okay, we can ask now if there's any questions. Okay.
May I please ask, why is it so important to wake up early in the morning?
Okay, why is it so important to wake up early in the morning? And there are modes of nature. There's the sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. Those modes are very prominent at different times of the day. In the early morning hours, especially the Brahma Muhurta hour, which begins 1.5 hours before sunrise, that time is very, very powerful for spiritual enlightenment. It is recommended by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that one who will sing the Gravastakam prayers during the Brahma Muhurta. Everyone knows Samsaradava Nalalira Loka Tranayakar Yunaga Naganadvam. One who will sing, this is the 9th prayer of the Gravastakam. One who will sing these Gravastakam prayers during the Brahma Muhurta, they will achieve at the time of death the direct service of Lord Krishna. That's why I recommend to all my disciples and everyone else, if you can't come to the temple, rise early in the morning, be up during the Brahma Muhurta and sing the Gravastakam prayers. It's a very important benediction from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that was passed on to us by Prabhupada, to rise early during Brahma Muhurta and sing the Gravastakam prayers. So, the result is, and even Prabhupada recommended getting all around them before sunrise. It's not a rule, but it's recommended. If one can complete their round before sunrise, it's recommended by Prabhupada. Sometimes it's not practical. Someone has pujari service, or they're cooking their breakfast, you know. But as far as possible, get those rounds done early in the morning. When it's much easier, the modes are conducive for transcendental meditation before sunrise. So by taking advantage of these early morning hours, then one can dive deep into the ocean of Krishna Prema. And then you can keep that meditative consciousness, that super consciousness, that Krishna consciousness, keep it manifested or present within your heart throughout the day. So we always recommend everyone, don't just get up after the sunrise and try to be Krishna conscious, battling it out with the modes. Take advantage of the modes to practice Krishna consciousness early in the morning before sunrise, and you'll be amazed at how ecstatic your day can be. As one devotee said, go to observe Mangal Arti, and your day will be, and magic will happen. You observe Mangal Arti every day, magic will happen. Any other questions? Yes. Is there any difference between a man's following sadhana and woman?
The way of the difference between the how it's able, it's better able, a man is better able to follow.
Is a man or a woman better able to follow? Well, it's interesting. In one place in Prabhupada's books, he mentions actually for women, it's actually easier for women because they have more of a mood of service. By nature, a woman's psychology, because, for example, she renders so much service to the baby child, by her nature, a feminine nature is more inclined to service than a masculine nature. And Prabhupada explains that in India, the temples are full of mostly women, not the men. So actually, in terms of which psychology is more favorable, the feminine psychology is actually the most favorable psychology for advancing in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya, he was always meditating on the gopis, on their mood of service. So actually, in the supreme emblem of service is Radharani, the original female. So actually, even in the morning, we all pray to become women in our next life. In the Tulsi prayers, we're begging to become sakis in our next life. So actually, the woman has an advantage in Krishna consciousness. We men are just suffering along, trying to get rid of our macho egos. But you ladies have an advantage, you know. You really have an advantage over us men. But the man can also become Krishna conscious if he takes the mercy of the spiritual master. Because the mercy is equally given to men and women both. So even though you have an advantage, we can also keep up with you ladies by surrendering to the spiritual master. Okay, anything else? Yes.
May I please ask, we can read in Bhagavatam in the first canto that by service of the absolute truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. And I want to ask, how is it possible that we are trying and striving for so many years and but still we don't have firm and fixed intelligence in the Lord?
Actually, I see that as your humility, Prabhu. Actually, I'm coming here for many years, and I see that you're steadily engaged in Krishna consciousness. I'm just observing you. So you have fixed intelligence, but you're humbly thinking that you don't, and that's good. Actually, I see you do have fixed intelligence. We should, of course, we never think that we do. That is intelligent. And think I don't have any. That's how Prabhupada prayed. He said, even though I've been designated Bhakti Vedanta, I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta. I have no love and I have no fixed intelligence, no knowledge, you see. And devotee always feels that I'm just, you know, I have no love of God. Just like that nice prayer by Rupa Goswami. Na prema shravanandi bhaktir apiva yogatava vaishnava jnanam va shubha karma va kiyadaho sadjatir abhyasti va inarita dikka sadake tvaita tapyascheja mulasati hey gopi janabalava vyadayate haha madhashaivamam. He says, I have no love for Krishna, nor do I have any qualification for hearing and chanting. I do not possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava, knowledge or pious activities, nor am I even born of a decent family. On the whole, I'm just completely bereft of any good qualifications. But my dear Lord Gopi Janabalava, maintainer of the gopis, because you are most merciful upon the fallen souls, I have this unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart that somehow or other I will get your mercy and attain your lotus feet. But when I consider how unqualified I am, I just feel such pain in my heart because of this. So that's how Rupa Goswami is praying. So to feel that one is not fixed, that's very good. That's how we make advancement, is to see our own faults, how fallen I am. But the fact is, I see you're fixed. Every year I come here, you're the same blissful devotee doing the service. I see how you're fixed. But for you to think like that, it's very good. And to pray, that's how Rupa Goswami prayed. The more you can feel, I am not Krishna conscious. How can I get it? That's your advancement. I'm not Krishna conscious. Na prema. No love of Krishna, you see. Na preva shavanadi bhakti, I have no, for no hearing and chanting, nothing. I have no qualification. I'm just a ridiculous mess. That's the mood. Where you can beg to Krishna and he will reciprocate like anything. Any other question? You had a question back then? Yeah.
How can you be Krishna conscious at your job?
How can you be Krishna conscious at your job? You simply have to offer the result of your job to Krishna, that's all. Every penny is for Krishna. Wherever money you earn is all for Krishna. Not a penny for sense gratification. That means you have to pay some money for your rent, your food. Your food should all be offered to Krishna. Your apartment, you have an apartment? Huh?
I pay some rent.
You pay rent for a room or something. Okay, so you have to turn your room into an ashram. A place of spiritual cultivation. So your rent is supporting a Krishna conscious ashram. You have to turn your whole living situation into an ashram. So whatever money you spend on rent, it's all supporting Krishna conscious ashram. And then whatever money you can spare, you give to support the temple, to support traveling preachers, etc., and support the movement. Any extra money, you give that to support ISKCON activities. In this way, if you use every penny you earn at that job is spent in a Krishna-conscious way, then you'll naturally be Krishna-conscious at the job, naturally. And there's other things you can do too. You can put a picture. If you have a desk at your job, put a picture of Krishna there. Put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk. Leave it there all day long. During your break time, the co-workers may say, "What is that book?" And you have a whole bunch of extra copies in the drawer. You can distribute books to the co-workers, you see. And you can have a little bowl of cookies there, prasadam cookies. And everybody's welcome to come and take a cookie. You know, man. You can become the most popular employee at your job. Bhagavad Gita's, prasadam cookies, you know. You see. So in this way, you could turn your job into a preaching situation, whatever you can do, and make it very Krishna conscious. I know... I was some years ago. I was working before I started initiating disciples, traveling all over the world. I was working a part-time job, support our ashram in Texas, and it was a telesales job. I was doing sales over the telephone. So when I went in, I dressed, you know, I hid my neck beads and wiped off my T-lock and got hired, you know. And then one day I said, this is enough, you know. T-lock is me, I am T-lock, you know. Sankarshan Das without T-lock is not really Sankarshan Das. So I'm going to wear T-lock to work today. I don't care, I'm just going to wear T-lock to work today. And that day I sold like anything. I was raking in the sales. My manager said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you must wear it every day. So from then on, I had to wear T-lock as my boss ordered me to wear T-lock to work. So as being an award-winning salesman, I have to go to these special recognition dinners, you know. They had a big gala event for all the top salesmen in the company, you know, and they special thing. We got off work to go for a special gala event in a hotel. So they would serve out a dinner, you know, of all garbage food. So I'd bring my little brown bag of prasadam, you know. I'd take an empty plate and I'd be sitting there eating prasadam while they're all eating their meat, you know. So you'd have to be a little bold, you know, because you're different. To be Krishna conscious in the world of fools, you have to be different. You have to dare to be different. You shouldn't be ashamed of being different. You should feel sorry for them that they're not Krishna conscious. Don't feel sorry that, oh, I'm different. What did I do? I got brainwashed into this Hare Krishna cult, and now I'm weird. They all think I'm weird. And you shouldn't be like that. You should have a very revolutionary vision of seeing these poor souls are caught in birth and death, and I'm so fortunate I've been liberated by Prabhupada's mercy. What can I do to attract them to Krishna? That's how you should think. Okay? All right, anything else? Everybody satisfied now? Ready to revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the world? All right. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shankar Shankar ki jai.